Hey. Got some questions? Thank you. AGP says we're ready, so why don't we get the meeting started? I'm going to call the meeting to order at 3:01. Clerk, will you call the roll to establish quorum?
Chairman Peck?
Here.
Member Hoverstein?
Here.
And Member Johnson?
Here.
Member Woody said he would not be here, and I guess Member Dorfman will probably be late, so we'll go ahead and start. Thank you, everybody. Welcome members of the public and city staff and to Council Member Edwards, who is our council liaison. We have a full agenda today and another scheduled meeting coming into this room at 6 p.m., so we're going to be trying to be done by 5:45. So if I could be a little curt, it's just for moving everything along. We'll need to work quickly and efficiently. We also have a contingency plan to continue the meeting tomorrow if necessary, but we don't think that'll be necessary. Our first item on the agenda is public comment. Members of the audience wishing to address the CFAC on city business matters not on the agenda may do so at this time. For those desiring to speak on items on the agenda but unable to stay for that item, may also address the CFAC at this time as well as when the agenda item is presented. Are there any public comments? Seeing none, AGP, do we have anybody in the queue? Nobody in the queue. Thank you. The first item on our agenda is the consent calendar for the approval of the minutes for the February 20th CFAC meeting and the special CFAC PWAB meeting on April 17th. I assume we can take these as one motion? Okay. Is there a motion to approve the minutes or have anybody reviewed them?
I'll make a motion to approve them.
Second?
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Our first item of business is to review the proposed 2024-25 QE expenditures and the remaining funds in the budget. Our responsibility here is to make a report and recommendation to the City Council. The first part of this will be a report by the Finance Director Conrad on the future revenue expense projections. We'll follow that with any questions by CFAC on the projections. Next, we'll take up the specific staff recommendations for expenditure of Q&E funds, followed by discussion of other major funds that are of interest to the committee. In the interest of time, please save your questions to the end of Director Conrad's report. With that, I'll introduce Finance Director Conrad for a presentation.
Thank you, Chair Pack. Before I release Director Conrad, I have a few brief statements I would like
Thank
to
you.
Make. I want to formally introduce Director Conrad to you. We appointed Emily Conrad to the Finance Director position a few weeks ago after she performed the acting role for a couple months. And as you recall, this position used to be Admin Service Director / Assistant City Manager. And after a period of review, including listening to the input from this committee, the city has decided to reclass that decision to separate the Assistant City Manager duties from the finance focus. And as a result, we have a Finance Director position now, and Emily is the Finance Director for the city. And we are very confident that Emily will take us to take up the new challenges and then bring us to together into the bright future. I know we're all very anxious to get into the budget discussion, and I wanted to just add a few words. I am really proud that today we're reaching a milestone for the draft budget. It is truly a teamwork, and I'm thrilled to be able to sit at this table along with Emily and Melissa and then Erica, the finance team. We'll have a stellar team. And this year is very challenging for us because many of us, this is the first year for us. to develop the budget together, and I am really pleased with the result, and we're eager to hear your feedback, to make a presentation and hear your feedback, and hopefully your suggestion will make the budget actual valuable when we present it to before the City Council.
Thank you. I think I can speak on behalf of the committee that I thought the budget document was excellent. It's a big lift in any organization, even a small one, but considering the turnover and everybody's first time around on that, I thought it was excellent. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I want to emphasize this would not have happened without the hard work and stubborn determination of this woman to get this thing done. So let's dive right in to our presentation. Melissa will be presenting some slides as well. We'll just take turns. So launching into the CFAC review of the fiscal year 2024 and 25 proposed operating and capital budget. Our setup or organization for this presentation will start with a high-level review where we'll look ahead at forecasts and reserves and look back, look at some key takeaways from the history. Then we'll go into the proposed budget specifically for Measure E Fund. Then we will proceed to the citywide budget summary and end with action items for this body. So starting with the citywide near-term fiscal outlook, you have probably noticed that we project the revenues will flatten, they'll increase just a little bit. So property taxes are projected to go up. That number comes from the county. Sales and use tax, we're projecting to go down. That's a combination of our sales tax experts, HDL, their projection, and then we analyze that in context of our history and come up with a number for the budget. This year and last year, we budgeted 95% of their projection just to be on the safe side. Transient occupancy tax, we are projecting again conservatively to have a 2% increase. That may go up as we have additional hotels come online, like two that opened just this spring and one that's being built. We can adjust that at mid-year if needed. Current services citywide, those budgets are developed by departments and overall are looking at a 3% decrease over last year. Our personnel costs are really an estimate at this point, given the fact that we are still in union negotiations. We have one tentative agreement and two still in progress. So overall, this budget presents a placeholder that nets to a 6% increase. Our unfunded accrued liability costs are actually increasing by 10% this year. And lastly, the reserves are expected to meet our existing reserve policies for all of the funds, and the minimum city reserves are about 40% of our total operating budget.
I get to take us into the future. So you've seen this before. This is the general fund five-year fiscal forecast. So it has been updated to show our FY 2024 estimated numbers and then includes the five-year forecast starting with the proposed budget year. And for 2024, we're anticipating revenues to slightly exceed budgeted estimates. This reflects higher property tax revenues and revenues from current services. On the expense side, we're projecting lower than budgeted expenditures due to salary savings from vacancies in some key positions. And then these vacancies are also translating into lower spending in other operations and maintenance due to the transition in staff and various interim appointments. The bottom line here, quite literally, is that over time, we're seeing a trend of both decreasing beginning fund balance and a closing of that gap between projected revenues and projected expenditures. And this section of the forecast is looking at capital funding from just the general fund. For 2024, these numbers are actual transfers out of the general fund to the capital improvement funds to support the listed projects. And for FY 2025, we're proposing to fund the annual storm drain replacement project only. We'll get into this more in the Measure E forecast, but we are recommending a delay in additional funding for the annual pavement management program for 1 year, pushing those contributions out through FY 2029. As you can see from the net surplus shortfall line, the general fund is looking like it's not going to be capable of funding both operating and capital from current year revenues. This slide shows the one-time transfers from the general fund, including fiscal year 2024's significant contribution to emergency reserves, that 3.292 number. The only reserve contribution proposed for FY 2025 is a small increase to the compensable leave fund, which we do foresee continuing throughout the forecast period because compensation rates are projected to continue to increase. This slide also shows your ending fund balances after all revenues, expenditures, and one-time expenses are accounted for. And then highlighted here in the red box are the 2028 and 2029 ending available fund balance. So to spend at the levels projected in this forecast, a transfer from emergency reserves would be required in those amounts. Which would ultimately bring the reserve ratio down to that 16.1% in FY 2029. We will be discussing reserve policies later, but 16.1% would be far below any best practice that we've been able to research thus far. Moving on to Measure E. This forecast is set up just like the general fund, but unlike that forecast, we are not projecting revenues higher than budget. For 2024, we're actually seeing a revenue lag of approximately 5% below budget. We do, however, project lower than budgeted expenditures, resulting in an operating surplus of approximately $1.2 million. The Measure E forecast presents a much more favorable five-year scenario with all forecasted years operating with a surplus. Our revenue projections are mostly flat throughout the forecast period with modest 2 to 3% increases. So funding capital still remains a challenge, even for Measure E. This forecast prioritizes the annual pavement management program with an annual $1 million contribution resuming in fiscal year 2026. So prior CFAC recommendation to staff was to spend down the Measure E available fund balance, which we did for FY 2024. And then the projected growth in fund balance by fiscal year end 2025 is due to a reduction in capital funding, which is recommended to protect the fund's ability to support capital spending in FY 2026 and beyond. And then to illustrate the rationale for this decision, I've compared two scenarios that should help clarify. The left-hand scenario, our recommended scenario, is built into the proposed budget. The project highlighted in blue there is the annual pavement management program. So that's showing no funding contribution in FY 2024, and then that $1 million contribution for every year until FY 2029. You'll see that helps our fund balance stabilize, and we remain in the black for all 5 years of the fiscal forecast. Conversely, under the not recommended scenario, were we to fund the project in fiscal year 25, you see, my first observation there, that you can't. You end up with a deficit of approximately $50,000, and then that deficit continues to grow, only rebounding in 2029 when the funding for that project ceases. So the major takeaway here is that funding capital projects continues to be a challenge. When viewed as combined funds, the general fund and Measure E are unable to support both operating and capital expenditures beginning in the next fiscal year. This means that the city would rely on cash reserves to fund capital projects, which can only occur for so long before you begin to bump up against those reserve thresholds established by City Council. I'm going to hand it back to Emily.
Okay, we wanted to present for you the budget to actuals going back to fiscal year 2021 for both revenue and expenditures. So for each year, the bar on the left is representing our revenue, and the bar on the right represents the expenditures. So for that fiscal year 2021 year, you can see that our citywide, again, our revenues far exceeded the budgeted revenue, and that is due to the WRF project and loan proceeds coming in anticipated but weren't included as a budgeted line item. And that remains true for fiscal year 22 as well. And 23, predominantly for 23 as well. Fiscal year 24, our expenditures are looking like are budgeted to exceed revenues, and that was by design to spend from fund balance to fund capital projects, and that levels out there in our projected budget or our proposed budget here for you today. Looking specifically at Measure E budget to actuals, we can see that fiscal year 21 revenues exceeded the anticipated, and expenditures came in below actual revenues. Similar to fiscal year 2022. In 2023, as Melissa just discussed, we planned to spend down fund balance, and so you can see that the expenditures exceeded revenues. It's the same plan for 2024, and then in 2025, as we are budgeting more revenues than expenditures and building fund balance again. So looking at just the history of the sales and use tax, Measure E was passed in 2020, as we know. We had a dip in during the COVID years and then a significant rebound in 22-23, which is being compared to about 6 years of average growth in just 2 years. And we're seeing that decrease again, but it's actually just normalizing to regular spending levels. And so our 24-25 budget is based on fiscal year 23-24, which is currently tracking about 5% below what we projected and budgeted. And that's consistent with what the HGL sales tax experts are also projecting.
Okay, so moving into the budget detail for FY 2025. For Measure E. Overall, Measure E expenditure budget is decreasing by 35.5% compared to the prior year. One large reason for this is because of the major use of fund balance to fund CIPs in FY24. Personnel costs are projected to rise due to ongoing union contract negotiations. So this is essentially a placeholder for now, but projected to increase about 5.6%. And services and supplies budgets are decreasing, with interfund transfers also decreasing, and that's due to the reduction in capital project funding. So this chart is just showing the allocation of Measure E expenditure budget by department. We're at about 30% for public works, 25% for fire and police, 12% for capital projects, and 9% for harbor. So that non-departmental department is the contributions to capital projects. Now looking at each department individually, starting with police. The overall budget is increasing less than 1% compared to the prior year. We're proposing to fund the same number of positions, although overall salary costs are increasing. So as a result, there's been a slight reduction in supplies and service budgets, with the general fund absorbing the requests that were originally made for Measure E. The requests funded here include payment to other agencies for shared services, police body camera support and maintenance, and a mobile surveillance unit. You'll also see here the nexus between the proposed spending and the ballot language for Measures Q and E. For fire, only personnel costs are proposed in the Measure E fund, which is similar to last year. Again, there's a clear nexus here between the ballot measures and how the funds are being spent. This year, fire is choosing not to budget for mutual aid costs in advance. They're going to come back at mid-year once actuals are known. So personnel costs are decreasing despite the assumed salary increases. Finance and fire are working really closely together to better track and monitor the mutual aid costs. So we are planning on preventing any of those expenditures from hitting Measure Q and E at all. Meaning that these personnel costs will not change pending union negotiations. On the public works side, funded positions are remaining the same compared to prior year, and overall budget requests are mostly flat. This year, the City Hall HVAC repair, repainting a public restroom, kitchen upgrades at the police department, and then sidewalk, curb, storm drain repairs, and street repairs and striping are being proposed. The sidewalk, curb, storm drain repair, and street repair and striping are the same as last year. Those were included, and then those other projects are new. And then again, that nexus to the ballot language. And lastly, we have Harbor. Harbor Department requests are decreasing slightly, mostly due to fewer supplies and services being requested. As with last year, the budget proposes to fund all part-time harbor staffing, including the Harbor Patrol Program and the Harbor Lifeguard Program. Disposal costs for the waterfront and Embarcadero are included, along with some equipment and uniform budgets. There is also a nexus here to the ballot language, although it's maybe less closely tied to the ballot language, but this is also the smallest appropriation in terms of department funding from Measure E. So for capital projects, the budget proposes funding for three projects. Two are ongoing and one is new. The ongoing projects are the local roadway safety plan implementation project and the sidewalk improvements and street repairs. Both of these projects received $150,000 each in FY 2024 from Measure E. And both will likely have some carry forward budget in addition to the new funding being requested. The new project is the Morro Bay Bridge inspection and assessment project with a proposed budget of $80,000. Just for illustrative purposes only, these are the projects that are likely to have carry forward budget for FY 2025 from prior years of Measure E funding. So that Measure E funding amount is the total amount received over the last four or five fiscal years. The large carry forward balance for the annual pavement management program is all of the budget that Public Works will have to spend in FY 2025. That should be adequate for the coming year, but continued annual funding is required to stay on track with the recommended improvements. And then also for information only, this is just a quick list of the projects I was able to find that have received Measure E funding in recent years and have since been completed.
Jumping into our proposed citywide revenues, Overall, we're projecting a total decrease of 8.5% in revenues, partially due to decreasing our interfund revenues or interfund transfers in due to decreased capital improvement project planning funding and the ending of the ARPA funding or the COVID emergency funding, and not requiring a transfer from general fund into the emergency reserve fund. And as we had noted prior, most of the major revenue sources are remaining rather flat. But net of those transfers citywide, our revenues are actually up by 5%. With the proposed citywide expenditures, overall, we're looking at a decrease of 27%, and that net of transfers is down 25%, largely due to the interfund transfer decrease in services, decrease in other expenses, and that's associated with capital improvement projects, that ARPA funding, and not transferring out into the general fund to the GFER. And as prior noted, personnel costs are up a 6% net change. We wanted to show you a few charts representing our expenditures by department. I don't know if I really need to read all these, but you can see that capital projects and public works are the biggest chunks of this pie. Non-departmental are mostly our interfund transfers, as well as a $400,000 payment we're intending to make to our Section 115 trust to help build up savings for the pension liability. That is followed by the next largest funded department, the police department, then fire, harbor, administrative services, community development, risk management, recreation, and city manager's office. We also wanted to show you expenditures by fund in one little snapshot. The largest is the general fund, followed by sewer operating and sewer capital improvement, water operating, then Measure E, the Water Capital Improvement Fund, Harbor Operating Fund, and down. So in a long-term fiscal outlook, the general fund faces revenue shortfalls in the coming fiscal years based on current projections, and costs continue to escalate and revenues remain flat. We are, in our finance department, going to complete a risk-based reserve analysis to potentially make a recommendation to council about the way the city is currently dealing with our reserves. And capital projects, the funding sources for future capital projects remain limited, so we will need to find different revenue streams. And the staff capacity to deliver funded projects is still constrained. So we're wrapping up what we have in our planned presentation and getting ready to move into our discussion with you on these items. So I wanted to call back to our agenda items here. So we'll need to review the future year revenue and expense projections for Measure E and provide appropriate recommendations for the use of funds for City Council consideration. Review this proposed budget and provide a recommendation to City Council on Measure E specifically, expenditures, and provide a recommendation on the proposed budget for all the other major funds as desired. So if we could commence with discussion and recommendations, we are ready. Mm-hmm.
I thought the presentation was excellent with only one reservation. Is my eyes are starting to fail me, and maybe the screen could be pulled closer to the dais at future meetings. But
or different colors, maybe contrast. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Noted.
Answered many of the questions I had about carryover, and so thank you very much for an excellent presentation.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Questions from the committee for Director Conrad or staff? Let me start with Committee Member Hoverston.
Okay, yes, I had a couple questions. First of all, the bridge inspection amounts. I thought in one of our prior meetings, it had been mentioned that that was a Caltrans thing. I don't know if I'm confusing the two different bridge inspections or something.
I'm not able to speak to that specifically, but I wonder if Director Qualick might be able to step up. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Conrad. And thank you, Committee Member Hoverston. I suspect this won't be my first appearance up here tonight. So you are correct that Caltrans inspects bridges. And we have some work to do regarding three of our bridges in town. And we're not quite sure what that work will entail yet, and so we had to come up with a name. And we wanted to make the name broad enough to cover whatever we'd need to do. And so we chose inspection and assessment. Caltrans notified us through their inspection that the Main Street Bridge, specifically over Morrow Creek, is now scour critical. It doesn't mean it's going to collapse tomorrow, but there are underlying issues with the foundation and the soils there. And so the city does need to take a look at that and provide a plan of action to Caltrans in response. We also know that we have some scouring issues at the pedestrian bridge across Morrow Creek near the water. And there's obviously significant erosion there. So that needs to be looked at. And then under the bridge that used to be the twin bridges on South Bay over Choro Creek, there are just overgrown willows that are potentially contributing to a flooding issue there. And so we just wanted a pot of money to be able to address, at least preliminarily, these issues.
Okay. Thank you. And then my other question was, I thought in the past annually we were funding $600,000 each year towards the roundabout, a reserve fund, or I'm not sure of the correct terminology, but and I didn't see that anywhere this year. Is that off the table?
We had been making those $600,000 a year allocations.
Yes, nope. And I'll just pick up from there. We did twice. We did that in 2021 and in 2022. In 2023, our contribution came out of development impact fees, traffic impact fees, and project-specific fees. And this year, I talked to SLOCOG and just let them know we didn't think we really needed to do that anymore, because it's very likely that if we are able to continue this project, it's going to be transferred to Caltrans, and we're negotiating a deal with them that, you know, maybe we get some of our Q&E money back, because Caltrans will ultimately pick up a larger portion of the bill than had initially been anticipated. That won't happen probably for another year, because the city has to complete the environmental phase of the project. And the city is still expected to make some level of contribution into the project. Currently, we have around $2 million in that project, 1.2 from CUNY, and around 800 from those other fees that I mentioned.
Okay, thank you. That's my question.
Okay. Committee Member Dorfman, any questions?
Well, a concern I have, I just looking through there, one of the objectives is public areas safe and clean, and I just been hearing around with the issues of the bathroom at the Rock and then the bathroom at Lila Kaiser, and I'm just not sure how that's not being addressed with allocations of funds, given our revenue comes from people coming into town. So I just wanted to bring that up just because there's all these murmurs about how come we can't have our bathrooms working. And then the bridge, the pedestrian bridge, I'm confused on the engineering of that. I went out and looked at it after we talked about it, and I mean, if you're going to put a bridge like that on top of sand, I think that's going to be pretty challenging. It's all it's falling apart. I don't even know how long it's been there. The concrete walkways that they put up there, those are also falling in, getting deteriorated. So I just don't think it's a good idea to put a lot of concrete projects on unstable sand. I think if they had made it a pedestrian bridge and not tried to cover it also as a vehicular bridge, maybe that might have worked out, but there's a lot of sand there. I think that's it for the moment.
Okay. Committee Member Johnson.
I wanted to ask a question. You talked about, Melissa talked about reducing the paving for, I guess it was 2025, in favor of, I believe, storm drains. Is that where you say? Because I always emphasize that that's what the one aspect that people love to see in their city works is the paving of streets. So is it because there's such an urgent need in something else that that would usurp that? Because I understand the fact that there's not enough money for everything. Right. But I would always give that a priority if you could. But if there's something, I just wanted to understand the reasons behind that, the prioritization.
Yeah. The primary reason is simply that it doesn't fit into the budget, and we can fit the project into the budget by delaying it that 1 year to allow fund balance to recover in Q&E and in the general fund. I failed to mention that both funds would not be contributing. That does not mean that work would not continue. There is that $3 million project fund balance that they would be spending from in FY25. Okay. So it wasn't necessarily that we thought one project was better than the other. We just had room to fund the storm drain project and not the pavement program.
Oh, okay, but so those needs are more urgent then? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Okay. And they don't have the same amount of project fund balance. So okay. That program is requesting the funding to build that up, the storm drains.
Is part of the answer that we have a $3 million fund balance already?
Correct.
From Q&E. We sort of burn through about $1.5 million a year.
Yep.
So we've got basically 2 years worth of paving saved up already.
Okay.
So I don't think they're delaying it. I think they're the funds have accumulated, and I guess there's not a need to put another $1 million in that fund until it gets spent down some years in the future.
The projections right now do include fully funding that program. It's just moving it out one additional year instead of...
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Could I comment on that, Chair?
Sure.
I appreciate it, and I know you're trying to move this along quickly, but I do want to clarify some things. You know, our pavement management evaluation showed that just to keep current pavement condition, we need to fund paving at $2.8 million mm-hmm. per year.
Yep.
So while it's true that this is carryover money, that's last year's money, it's this current year's money and the prior years. That was actually 2 years of projects combined give us that about $3 million that we'll then do next year. We're not waiting to do it for this kind of administrative reason. We're actually ready to do it this summer, but decided because some of the work would be along the Embarcadero that just wouldn't make sense to do during the tourism season. So we're going to combine our projects and do it in the fall. But I do want to be clear, there's not going to be new money outside of around $300,000 of grants for paving for fiscal year 25. So really we're doing the old projects in fiscal year 25 just because of timing issues.
Okay. Well, one other more general question, just to be, because I don't know if there's a lot of input regarding our fire and police service as far as the level of funding relative to the unmet or fully met need, because again, those are the main focus or what, you know, the top item mentioned in Q&E. And it's just hard to understand if those needs are, they don't seem to be as concrete, say, as public projects, but are they being fully met? Because I know when I've talked to the police chief in the past, she's mentioned that the staffing in front is below, like, 1985. It's like, is it okay that way?
Unfortunately, the chief isn't available today. I think she's out of town and not able to attend today, and she could probably provide a better answer than I on that. But... one of the challenges that they face in that department is retention, recruitment and retention. We're not seeing new hires stay up until a 5-year mark. And so we're really working on that retention end. They did request another position be funded out of this Measure E fund. However, we were hoping they would be here today to make that request of this body, and it is not budgeted currently. That's a partial answer to your good question.
Okay, thanks.
Did it? I had some questions and comments. One of them had to do with Committee Member Johnson's comments, is that the principal purposes of Q&E were public safety, police and fire specifically, and road pothole filling and roadway maintenance. And as we go forward, I think it's important that we keep the faith on that. And I just want to thank the staff for actually showing the ballot measure nexus, because I'm a little bit of a strict constructionist on that and don't want to sort of conflate beaches into harbor into Embarcadero. So want to respect the fact that the voters knew what they were voting for when they did those things. I had one comment, and it had to do with the pavement funding. Two comments, one in response to Director Qualick's comment. We seem to be taking the $1 million a year and sort of running that out so that every year we're going to be doing less and less paving with the same amount of money. I think in order to do the same amount year after year, I think we ought to be budgeting for the normal increases. Asphalt and paving is increasing a lot, sometimes more than personnel. I would rather see us assume that that is going to go up 7 to 10% per year to do the same amount of paving every year than simply having the same amount with diminishing results. So when I look at running those numbers forward, I end up with about $1.5 million 5 years from now rather than just $1 million. So in my mind, that changes my thinking about what do we have room for in Q&E going forward. The other one has to do with how we sort of manage our pavement. If it's going to take $2.8 million a year just to keep them the way they are we not better off thinking longer term about a bond issue, bonding against that, and actually fixing something so it doesn't need continual repair? I'd like to recommend to City Council that we think about that, step back. What would it take if we committed $1 million or $1.5 million from this fund for a bond, because it's not going to expire? What could we permanently fix long term? I think that needs to be looked at. I did have a question on Harbor. We have 5 reservists that are being funded out of there. I recall 3 or 4 years ago when we started funding the Harbor, I remember the lifeguards, but what do the reservists do? Are they enforcement? Are they patrol officers? What's the function of those individuals?
Yes, they are reserve patrol officers.
Okay. I think you answered my question about the overtime on the for the fire department and the balances. I had the same question as Committee Member Johnson about police staffing. Again, it seems like we're just holding our own, and I'd rather put my thumb on the scale to increase that. Same with fire. But I also noted, as I kind of ran the numbers out, that if you just take what we're doing for police now, for fire now, for paving, supporting consolidated maintenance, and the capital delivery, we don't have money for anything else in 5 years. So my comments will reflect the fact that let's protect the core services and fund the other things that we can. But I don't want to spend money on, for example, some of the harbor facilities and some of those other things and find out that we have to cut those off in 4 years because we need to shift the money back and forth. And I'm persuaded by the fact that the harbor is to be funded from tidelands, trust funds. That money doesn't work both ways. It can't come across out of the harbor fund. So I think that's simply a fund management issue I think we need to deal with. I'm not saying there isn't a need there. I'm just saying that I can get my mind around the fact that Q&E ought to pay for the lifeguards. I'm not convinced that they should be paying for the reservist, because those would be funded out of the Tidelands revenues. Anyway, I have other comments, but we can get into those as we get into our deliberations. Would it be appropriate now to open it up for public comment, or?
I wanted to.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, I meant to bring up the pavement piece as well. I didn't see it when you had the allocation for fund for CUNY, and then you've explained it. But I do think for myself, and it sounds like from some of the others here, that there seems to be this idea that the pavement and how that's being managed is real important to the citizens of Morro Bay, I guess. And so maybe keeping it on the stream there, especially as it relates to Q&E, would be helpful for me, because I'm trying to see where those associations are. So, that's my thoughts. I would agree on the pavement being able to be funded and prioritized and things like that.
Then I'm going to, I'm trying to understand, as far as this pavement goes, we have a reserve, which I'm assuming is because there's not enough personnel and time to have done the work that's already been allocated or funded. So that's why there's a reserve. So to me, I'm saying, going to say the opposite. Why fund it now when the prior monies haven't been able to be spent? And if a couple years' worth of funds have been built up already, it doesn't, I mean, could it, is it even possible to get all that work done plus another allocation?
Chair, if I may take a stab at that, and I'm certainly not recommending anything other than what the finance department here has put together, because I think what they're looking at is just not enough money in the jar, right? And so that's the challenge. But I do want to address that question, because that question comes up. And that's correct. I mean, we've had a lot of staff turnover. We've had, you know, mega projects that are now winding down. And we've been pushing out other things. There is around $3 million right now in the paving budget that we're carrying forward. If the money were there, you know, adding another million or two wouldn't necessarily mean another project. We could just combine it to one bigger project. And so the lift from a staff resource standpoint isn't much greater, because we have to get a consultant to do the design, which is not that complicated for paving, and then take it out to bid. And then we have to have staff oversee that contract. It would just be a longer contract. It would just be a higher dollar value amount. But the actual work to get us there is similar. So just wanted to call that out.
Thank you. I didn't see any agenda correspondence on this, so we don't need to consider that. Is there any public testimony or comment on the presentation so far?
Is this just Q&E, or is this the general also?
For the presentation that was just made.
Yes, Chair and committee members, thank you. My name is Bill LaFay, Citizens of Morro Bay. I do want to thank you for this template. It's a template of, you know, where we're going as the city of Morro Bay. And one of the things that I think you're, you know, on the TOT taxes, I think that they're on a revenue basis is pretty low. I mean, we just put in the Hampton Inn that had 83 rooms, the Harbor Walk that had 8 rooms. I can't see that only increasing $100,000 next year. That's just a point. And I understand that you're using a conservative figure of 2.4%. And on the revenue for sales tax, I can't see that decreasing either. You're having that decrease this up and coming year. So what ends up happening, I think, is that we put this as our template, and mid-year, it might be too late to make adjustments and stuff like that. That's just a comment here, and I just wanted to bring that up. Looking at the capital projects, I was disappointed not to see the bathroom for Coleman Park. I know we've talked about that. Commissioner Dorfman mentioned restrooms. The restrooms are a mess here in Morro Bay. And I know we have some money in Coleman Park for a master plan. I've talked to Greg about it. But I think we should maybe prioritize just a bathroom at Coleman Park and just get it built. It would help the overflow for the rock, and we might have something that, you know, we don't need to repave the parking. We don't need to take out the basketball courts. Just put a bathroom in there. that's just a comment, and I think that would be a wonderful project, too. In looking over the capital projects, you know, I do have a hard time with a lot of the consulting fees. I understand you have to get the consultants. We don't have the staff. But looking at the utility manhole and sidewalks repair, I can look at the sidewalks. I can look at the manholes. I don't think I need to pay 25% for consulting services to fix those things. I mean, that's just, I might be just naive, but, and then on the decommissioning of the wastewater treatment plant, we're having design and planning of almost $900,000, which basically is 20% of the total project. I just have a hard time with all the consulting fees that are put into these projects and not really getting the projects done. So that's, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. LaFay.
My name is Homer Alexander. I was disappointed to see that the pavement management plan was not going to be funded this year. I found that decision curious because on page 319 in the section of the budget, that shows the detail of each capital project. The staff's narrative states, the city's pavement conditions continue to deteriorate. Not funding would accelerate the deterioration of this asset. Hopefully, this decision will be revisited. In my opinion, the sales tax and TOT revenue projections are understated. The budget is forecasting $144,000 decrease in revenue when the general fund and Q&E funds are combined. Assuming the merchants in Morro Bay increase their prices by the rate of inflation, the result will be a 5.4% decrease in real growth. In other words, restaurants will be serving 95 meals next year instead of 100 they serve this year. Miners will sell 95 cans of paint versus 100 they sold this year. The $4.5 million budget next year for TOT translates into $45 million in revenue for our lodging industry. The increase over this year's estimate is a little over $1 million. The $45 million in lodging revenue means Visit Morro Bay's revenue will be $1,350,000. Assuming the TBID spends 80% of their advertising dollars, Does it make sense that that our marketing arm would spend $1 million to increase sales by a similar amount? My second concern about understating revenue is the impact on the five-year forecast. As you are aware, the model calculates future year's projections as a percentage increase that is based on the first year's numbers. Since personnel costs represent a large share of the expense structure, and they are known, the first year's expense numbers are fairly accurate. Understated revenue combined with fairly accurate expenses can result in distorted numbers in the out years. I know the city staff for years has has a preference for very conservative revenue projections. In my opinion, these numbers are a little bit too conservative. In closing, I personally think that the changing the reserve policy that is discussed on page 45 is a bad idea for a number of reasons. Thank you.
Seeing no other public testimony, AGP, is there anybody in the queue?
There are no hands raised.
Thank you. That brings us to deliberating on the recommendations for Q&E. Excellent presentation by staff, good comments by the committee. Wanted to go around with the committee members and see what your preference is for direction on the Q&E portion of the budget that's being presented. Committee Member Hoverston.
I don't really have any adjustments I don't think that I would do.
Okay. Committee Member Dorfman.
I think the part of, you know, with the paving, however that's looked at in terms of not just the funding of it, but when it actually gets done, I'm starting to get confused between when we have a bucket of money and we don't have resources. Like, my understanding was we seem to have plenty of buckets, but not the resources. So if that's the case in the paving, I can see where there's, where maybe the resources get reprioritized or something. So that's where I got confused from the last meeting, where I understood the bucket of money. So anyways, anything to elevate this piece for the paving, I think, is important, especially in relationship to Q&E.
I agree with that comment as well, and nothing else to add.
Okay. My comments are similar, with a couple additions. I think I was persuaded by our study session with PWEB, which I thought was very informative, that, you know, even a small project can take a lot of project delivery time. I don't disagree with Director Qualick that throwing $500,000 onto a $3 million project is probably not an incremental increase. I think my comments will be rather that I'm supportive of the $80,000 for the bridge inspection if it can be done with consultants in this current year. It's one of those things that if you let it go too long, is going to be more expensive to fix. There are federal funds that can come against that. The city will need a local share, but we'll need to know what that is. I'm not supportive of adding the additional street safety program projects because I didn't see any specific projects that were proposed in there. It was an allocation with the PWAB coming up with projects later on. I'd like that the specific projects be reviewed by this committee because that's our responsibility. And to the extent that the committee probably prefers to see more paving done than other individual projects, perhaps we can look at an option of just taking what that amount is and shifting it over to some paving allocation this year. As I mentioned, I am concerned long term that we've got more mouths to feed than we did in 2020 when E was passed and the number bumped up to over $4 million. I would suggest that the in the harbor department out of Q&E that we fund the lifeguards but not the reservist. I know that's turning that around a little bit, but my observation is that the harbor budget has been growing. In fact, last year it had a pretty good year. Changes are being made to augment that, and the Tidelands revenues are designed and only intended to run a harbor. I don't think Q&E needs to step in and do that. I think Q&E does need to assist with the lifeguards because that's a community-wide expense. It's a recreation facility, safety facility. I can get my arms around that all day long. But my recommendation is that we try and compartmentalize as much as possible that assistance to the harbor for a number of reasons. It wasn't too long ago that we gave no money to the harbor. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and there was lots of debate on this committee about that. I think it's time to start protecting the vital organs. I would say public safety, police and fire and paving are those vital organs, plus the public works facilities and staff that are needed to deliver those things. You know, beyond that, I think everything is kind of okay. So those would be my comments on it. I think we're in a critical time period. The sales tax projections that I'm seeing, they may be conservative, but I think they reflect the fact that we had a lot of revenge travel a couple years ago. Nobody could go overseas, so they came here. Our merchants had their best year ever. I hear some people say they had their best year in 20 years. Well, the party's over. We're getting back to normal, and we need to start adjusting our expectations accordingly. So that's kind of my perspective. I would recommend that we make some adjustments based on what the committee's preferences are. that we not have a zero year for adding money to the paving budget. What that number is, it feels like it's kind of in the $350 to $500 range, but that we also correspondingly take some money out of capital that's being requested for public works and the money for the reservist in the harbor.
I wanted to cover the bridge because it seems to me there's three bridges and two of them have been around quite a while, and one of them is relatively new as far as bridges go. I guess what's that, throwing bad money after something? I mean, I can see the two bridges that aren't the pedestrian bridge have to be addressed. The pedestrian bridge just seems it. The function that got it there made a big mistake, and now we're going to try and use that same process to. One easy solution is if they didn't use it for cars, and I'm guessing it could probably go for a long time. I think they got in trouble trying to squeeze that in still, but I don't see how that pedestrian bridge fits in with the other two bridges. Sure.
I appreciate the comment. Committee Member Dorfman, and I just want to first say that staff sees what you see, and that maybe the construction of that bridge wasn't ideal, and it's regrettable that it was done, 10 years ago or so. You know, that said, we have that infrastructure is there now, and it could potentially be a liability down the road. And so, on the one hand, we have to make sure that nothing is going to happen to that bridge, and if we have to downgrade it. I mean, that vehicular traffic that the bridge was designed for is for emergency purposes, right. Even though many people... I'm sorry?
They can just drive right across the water there. Right. They just go right across the beach there. They never needed the bridge to get their trucks across.
Okay. I guess, yeah, no, that's a good point. I'm thinking of when there's water in the creek. So, again, this was sort of a catch-all, and it's like, hey, maybe we need around $80,000 just to have folks look at this. And our main focus is going to be the Main Street Pedestrian Bridge because that is one where we have a deliverable due to Caltrans, and then the Choro Creek is sort of the secondary there. You know, the other piece of it is we have infrastructure that's still falling into the creek at that location. We need to figure out what to do with that. And if anyone's been down there lately, it does not look pretty. You know, it's not a good situation. And I tend to agree with you that probably shouldn't have been built there, but it was.
Yes. Yeah.
So I just want to comment on that there we still have to look at what's there and make determinations.
Are there comments or is there a motion or?
Well, you mentioned having a collective, kind of a consensus.
I think it's important that for staff purposes that we have a committee recommendation on QE.
I think you summarized. If you want to do that again, then we can.
I'll summarize mine as a motion.
May I ask for what clarification quickly? So currently the Harbor Fund budget in CUNY includes $120,000 for garbage services, waste removal. Is that something you would want to include as part of public safety and cleanliness?
I think my observation on that is that it started out being zero, then it was 80, then it was 100, then it's 120. So the increase over time has been alarming. Again, I think that to some degree that's a sanitation expense that's unrelated to the operation of the harbor. It has to do with picking up trash from our visitors. The concern there, and this may be something that finance and city manager can comment on, is that it was being handled in another way before, and maybe you can give us a little bit of background on it's gone up going up $40,000 over 1 year. I would number one probably ask for explanation, and we would need to contain that expense over time. So maybe some perspective on that would be appreciated.
I believe that's mostly for garbage service at the Rock. And so I brought that up because we had a concern about the cleanliness of the bathroom at the Rock, and so I was just trying to cover all of our bases. We have seen the price for the service increase through that vendor. The rate increased for services from that vendor.
Perhaps Public Works Department Director can answer, is that if we were to reduce the funding, and it doesn't mean, are we expecting the service, level of service being reduced as well? I'm not sure that's we wanted to think a bit about that. Like, if we don't, well, how do we reduce level of service? Perhaps Public Works Director.
I can probably answer that question. I said, I don't want the level of service reduced. The reason this got put into the E categories because our beaches and our waterfront were trashed for a long time. Everything was take out. Garbage cans were overflowing. Bill LaFay and his organization did a great job getting us some new trash cans. So from my mind, that is something that I think the community expects us to do, and that clearly falls within the nexus. What doesn't fall into the nexus for me are the reservists. I think that's clearly a harbor operating question, and within their revenues that they generate to support that, they'll need to balance that. So my suggestion, part of my motion would be, is we take that piece out of the Q&E allocation, we keep the rest in.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. We were also noting here that Morbay Garbage went through that rate increase. I'm not sure if this advisory body is aware of it, but it was about a 30% increase in services, moving back to that high increase in the budget here.
Okay. So that would be one of the elements of my motion, would be to delete the support for the five part-time harbor reservists. Support the lifeguard positions as beaches are specifically called out in Q&E, and the trash expense. I think that an allowance be made for the future year's growth in annual pavement management above the $1 million, so that the purchasing power of that, and that's probably just a reflection in the budget rather than the straight $1 million. And I would also take with the exception of the $80,000 for the bridge inspections, that the other items that are requested for budgeting get transferred over to an additional amount for pavement management next year. So maybe we do an additional $300,000 or $400,000 of paving, along with the fall work, so that we get a little more bang for our buck out of that. So that would be my recommendation based on the committee's preference for not losing a year on the paving.
Just for a point of clarification, the projects that you're proposing to potentially defund and reallocate for pavement, is that the local road safety plan and the sidewalk improvements?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the budget for the reservists?
Yes.
Also reallocating to pavement,
yes.
Right? So.
Now, the budget for the reservist would not be allocated. That would simply be taken out.
Right. It would be taken out of.
Yeah. So reallocating the local road safety plan, and I think the sidewalk replacement, we already have budget in there.
Okay.
Unspent budget. I think that was clear on that. So we'd be adding $350,000 that's proposed for this year, mm-hmm. shifting that over into paving, keeping the 80 for the bridge inspection. I think that's a good idea. So anything else?
Yeah. I was thinking I'd kind of like to revisit one thing Mr. Alexander said about the sales taxes and the TOT taxes, just how small the increase is. And I'm typically a very conservative fiscally, and so I tend to usually be overly conservative that way. But I'm kind of thinking that maybe this revenue is a little too conservative as well. And, you know, from what I see, there's always a lot of people here. So and with the new hotels and things, I would think that the bed taxes would probably go up more than just the 2%. So
I'd suggest in that regard that if I was going to be conservative on the expense side, I would just say let's zero out. Try and zero out the capital expenses rather than shifting them over. But I guess I would share the staff's conservatism on the sales tax, because that's what I'm hearing from the merchants. Their year is starting off a little slower than it has in the past. I don't know whether staff has any information on sales tax to date, how that compares, but what I'm hearing from merchants is that people have other things to do besides come to Morro Bay, and they're doing it. I'm doing international travel a couple times this year rather than staying here, so I think that's for a lot of folks. So I would say that this might be a cautious year for us. We look at it mid-year, see if money showed up that didn't. So, with regards to the new hotel that came on board, their TOT is reflected in the 23-24 budget. So we're simply building on top of that.
For Hampton Inn?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. But the two new that opened in this spring, we did not account for those two, the Harbor Walk and Rhapsody in View.
Right. So that... Is the motion clear, or can you restate it to what you think it is, and we'll see if we can get a second on it?
Okay, let's see. It is to reallocate the funding for the capital projects that were proposed in local roadway safety plan implementation, sidewalk improvements, and street tree replacement over to the pavement management.
Right.
Also to increase the contribution in out years by CPI or inflation?
Yes.
Okay.
And deletion of the harbor reservists?
And the deletion of the harbor reservists. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I second that motion.
Clerk, call the roll, please.
Chair Peck?
Aye.
Member Holberstein? Member Johnson?
Yes.
Member Dorfman?
Yes.
Thank you. The next item of business is talking about the general fund or the remainder of the funds, including the general fund. So I know we've covered that in some detail, but I wanted to start with Committee Member Hoverston, did you have comments on any of the other funds or departments that you wanted to comment on?
Yeah, I just, I'm trying to get a handle on how the whole thing works. As far as I noticed, it looks like for fiscal year ending in 25, there's going to be a lot more debt service. Because it looks like the loans are starting, payments are starting to have to happen in August and November. So how does that affect, I mean, it seems like it should have a pretty drastic effect on fund balances. And I'd just like some clarification on that, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. The loans for the Wharf Construction are coming due starting this fall, exactly, in August and November, as you stated. And those are paid right back out of the funds that received the dollars and funded the project, which are the water fund and the sewer fund, the enterprise funds. So you will not see that impact of fund balance in the general fund or Measure E.
Okay. All right. And then the only other thing I saw was under capital improvements, there was amount for the Vets Hall improvements, and it said something about audio-visual devices, and I was under the impression that AGP owned those. So would the city be buying some then?
Thank you, Director Qualick.
Thank you for the question, Committee Member Hoverston. In the contract with AGP, they do provide equipment, but the equipment here, the sort of baseline equipment here, is severely outdated. It's led to, in some instances, meetings having to be postponed because of failures. The equipment was largely from the 1990s, and to deal with modern updates and technology, there have to have been patches and other things that only very few people understand how to operate. And it's become an issue, and besides that, the outcome, the picture quality, the audio quality is not to the standard that, that cities now use. So I think what's requested here, and Finance can correct me if I'm wrong, we had originally requested money in a prior year's budget, and this was an out year. The fiscal year 25 was an out year, and we were going to request more money, and that's just what we're doing. We currently have an RFQ out for a consultant to help us with a design on this. And, you know, we hope to wrap this project up either by the end of this calendar year or possibly March of next next calendar year. So it will involve a pretty, I think what most of us would see as an expensive replacement of our AV equipment, and it's not just equipment replacement, but really a redesign of the AV architecture. And, you know, a lot has happened in 30 years in terms of going from analog to digital and, you know, HD and all this stuff. And then there will be some necessary building improvements that would come with this replacement. You know, we'd have to redo part of the AV room back there, and then there's some other efficiencies that we can put into place so that we're not spending so much time and resources setting up and breaking down all the time for all of our meetings. Mm. And so those are things that we'll be looking at with the City Council.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Committee Member Dorfman, questions on the non-Q&E budget items?
I just wanted to put in my vote. I don't think the party's over. I think Morro Bay, like other beach communities, has a tremendous amount of upside, and it's a jewel. And I like the idea of being very conservative with our expenditures, and that allows us to watch this grow. But I look, you know, one of my indications for these kind of beach communities, these ski resorts, is every time you have an event like a 4th of July or they had another triathlon and stuff, first you're here and there's 5, 10 people, there's 20 people, there's 50 people, there's 200 people and stuff like that. So I just wanted to put that out there, and that was my thoughts on that. I agree with you on that, Kathy.
Jean?
Just to add to that point, I noticed that the State of the County meeting, they slow talked about the county overall tourism revenues were up 14% year over year, which is huge. So I would hope, I think Morro Bay is the crown and the jewel of the county, so it should match or exceed that. Perhaps there's something there to figure out.
My comments are... I thought it was an excellent budget document. I think there's some systemic issues that occur to me. One is we look at expense items as if there's nothing behind them, but as I've communicated to the finance director and city manager, I think our biggest expense is turnover. We have a hard time getting traction in our departments. I think Director Qualick has experienced that firsthand as well. I think that we need to face the music, bite the bullet, be competitive. I understand that we pay at the bottom of the range for some of our public safety folks. That leads to turnover. So maybe we have 5 people doing the job that 3 regularly trained full-time people can do. And I know it's on paper, it may look like it's going to be more expensive, but I've been in organizations where, city organizations, where folks are paid in the upper quartile, they have the best equipment possible, and they stick around. My concern for the city organization is not that we don't have enough people. I think we don't have enough retention. So that's a big ask of the council. I see the mayor's in the audience today, and I'm talking probably directly at her and her fellow council members. This is an item that is plaguing the city, and we need to address it. I think in the area of retail sales, one of the things that's true about destination or areas like ours is that we need to reinvent ourselves frequently. Visitors get bored. If they walk down the Embarcadero and it looks the same as it did 10 years ago, they're not going to come back. So I'm hopeful that some of the work that the new, the possible new community development director and the city can do is sort of create a vision for the waterfront that is both an economic asset, generates real money for the community, but also holds us in good stead for a long time. I also wanted to comment on the reserve policy. My comments are different than Mr. Alexander's in that I think we came up with a reserve policy in a time when we could lay people off quickly during COVID, and we had a great year the next year. It looked like we could put some money in the bank. I don't think the idea of having a 35 to 50% reserve requirement is realistic long-term. We may be saving that money for the negative year we're gonna have 4 years from now, but all it does is mask a systemic problem that we have. It occurs to me if we have taken a 10 extra dollars next year, then we're gonna put three or four of those dollars in the bank and it's not gonna do anything. And if one thing was true, that it appeared that although we spent some reserves down, the 25% reserve that we had at started COVID with was adequate, and then it came back up. And I've heard in previous hearings that the many folks would rather see that money fill a pothole than fill a bank account. I'm one of those people that said that money was there to be used, not to look at in the bank. And I will trust that City Manager Kimball and her staff will look at that responsibly, but I think that we're dealing with probably an allocation of resources where some of the money is sitting in the bank that could be used, and encourage the city staff and the city council to reconsider that probably in a more analytical, surgical way, and it looks like that's on your work program for next year, so I'd support that. I'm not hearing any suggested modifications or cutbacks or from the balance of the city budget from my colleagues. That's what you get. anything left for this particular item? Okay, thank you. That concludes the item number B, the business items. The other two items we have, and it looks like we have adequate time, yes, were just a follow-up discussion on the Public Works Advisory Board, Citizens Oversight Committee, CIP prioritization. I just wanted to bring that back to the CFAC to see if there's anything, any follow-up items or questions or comments you all want to make on that. Yep. Brian?
Brought my list. So if I understand this correctly, Public Works can handle about 5 projects a year, and they have about 50 that they're reviewing. So I guess even though we're Financial Advisory Committee, it seems like it's our personal resources that are somewhat harder to get in terms of the project. So I'm back to that crossroads. Is that the dominant problem?
That we have money but not people? Is what the dominant, yes? Is that what, did I restate
it
correctly?
Yeah, yeah. From the public work meeting, there was.
Yeah. The answer is probably yes and no. So let's see what the director has to say.
Yeah, and then just, you know, these are my comments. Thank you for the question. Committee Member Dorfman, I mean, I think in part that's true. I think that's accurate what you said. We could do about 5, maybe 6 projects a year with current staffing. And I've been talking to the city manager and about some things we could do to rearrange staff roles. That could help. But ultimately, yes, that's the dilemma. I mean, we're still recovering from the mega project, and there's then spin-off projects, decommissioning, recycled water, and then smaller things that have come up that all need to be addressed, and it takes staff to do that. And I think a lot of those things most people don't even see because they're not actually written out as capital projects. Nevertheless, they're things we have to handle. So, you know, we've also had conversations, myself and the city manager, finance staff, about potentially looking at a different way of accounting for capital projects. We talked about this at the joint meeting. Some cities just build into the capital project budgets time for staff, and then that way you actually can hire more staff, and those staff are dedicated to those projects. They're charging time to those projects, much like a consultant would. And so those are certainly options. I don't think anyone's proposing to make those kinds of decisions right now here today, but we're having those conversations to figure out how we can indeed deliver these projects that are on the books.
Thank you. Jean, anything?
I had just given some comments after last meeting too about projects that I wanted that I recommended being deleted, because I don't think we ever came around to that point in the meeting itself, so I did that through email.
And my comment and observation is that although we think that the WRF is operating, it isn't over yet. I think it's what Director Qualick is referring to as the mega project. There are legal obligations that have to be performed. There's a completion of the injection wells. That's a loan requirement. And I had a better appreciation for kind of all those wrap-up things you have to do that you have no choice but to do. So the more optional elective things we throw on the fire, those logs are never going to burn until all this. So I think we just sort of need to clear out the clutter for a while. And that's, you know, one of the reasons I was suggesting that we sort of push things around. I would also sort of comment that the reference that Director Qualick had about how you fund capital projects out of the allocation is the way I've seen it in other organizations, where if we allocate $1 million for a project, that contained within there is the consulting expense, the delivery expense, the city expense, and that based on the city's accounting system, they simply charge staff time against it, so that if you have a contract employee, they simply charge their time against it, and it's not necessarily a complete expansion of the staff. Project goes away, the position goes away. But I think it makes better sense to have the whole project delivery come out of the allocated amount, unless it's only restrained to the design, so that we're not simply trying to ask 2 people to do the work of 10. The 10 need to be buried within the project, and I think that's probably the way to proceed. It's the way I've seen it done elsewhere. Anything else on that matter before we move on to the next? The last item, and I'm sorry that Michael isn't here, is that he and I had a chance to work with the 2 members from the Harbor Advisory Board on the evaluation of some specific lease policy questions that the Harbor Director had. And by our nature, we dig in like ticks and did that. Answer the questions, I think, directly, and hope that the council found that useful. I certainly did, and so did the members of the Harbor Advisory Board, and wanted to simply say that I think we answered the questions. There were things that came out of our task force, our ad hoc committee, that were different. The recommendations were different than I thought they would be going in. It was because I learned something from people in the Harbor Advisory Board, and I hope they learned something from us. So So I wanted to mention that I think both Michael and I were happy with that process. Hope the city will do more of it. I think there's more work to be done, and would ask that if anybody from CFAC is interested in serving on a subsequent type of committee, then let us know, and we'd be happy to pass that along. I heard rumblings. I didn't listen to the council agenda, but I heard rumblings that the council might want a sort of a task force 2.0 to work on additional items. So volunteer if you think you'd be interested in working on that. It's really cool stuff. It's unlike anything else you see in public finance and government. It's kind of fun for nerds like me anyway. So I just want to pass that along. I can send out the staff report that was done that also included the report that the ad hoc committee did. Cal Myers did a great job in cobbling together the report and being the facilitator, but it was very useful, and I think it followed through on the council's commitment to sort of break down the silos in between the advisory boards, and our meeting with the PWAB was part of that too, so just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention. With that, it appears we're done, except for, are there any future agenda items that the committee wants to recommend, and maybe a follow-up meeting from follow-up comments from the staff?
I can offer one follow-up comment.
Okay.
I just would like to speak to your concerns about retention, which we all share, and I just wanted to let you all know we're working very hard to negotiate contracts with the unions, with council support to help correct that, and it will take time because so many of our positions are funded below median, but we're aware and we're working on it.
Thank you.
Just as far as future agenda items, I wasn't at the PWAB meeting, the joint PWAB meeting, but it seemed to me at the end of that meeting, I remember Michael talking about perhaps future agenda items, and it seemed that, like at this meeting, we knew that there was going to be too much already, and so that didn't get considered.
Excuse me, can you please speak directly into the microphone? Thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
And so that might be, I don't remember exactly all of what he was talking about, but unfortunately, that part of my brain was full. Anyways, we could look back at the meetings or notes.
Our next meeting's in August, is that right? What's our standard item on that at the August meeting?
I'm not sure we have a standard item. In the past, we've done Finance 101, kind of introduce folks to this committee to how we use the fund accounting system. We could do that again if it would be desired. We could bring an HDL consultant in as a guest if you wanted to hear about how we receive sales tax for Bradley Burns or Measure Q&E, or projections, how they make their projections. We could discuss revising the reserve policy if you are interested in contributing to that.
I think the revenue question would be a good one to answer, because I think in past meetings I've sort of questioned whether the projections are overly conservative and then you end up making a silly management decision because they're too low. So the fiscal year will be over. It won't be audited, but I think we can get numbers on how we finished the year. What is looking towards? I think SBE will have the tax information, probably the retail sales tax, and maybe the TOT will be reported by that time. So we'll get a kind of a better idea of the whole year.
Definitely by our October meeting. By August, we won't quite have all of the revenues for TOT or the sales tax.
Okay. One follow-up item is that I think starting last year was the year where we crammed both Q&E onto the same agenda today in May, because you're going to council on Tuesday on this, right?
Yes.
So in previous years, we've done the Q&E in April, and so I know you sort of needed that year of a breather, get settled. I would request that we just deal with Q&E in April like we did for several years, because that way it gives us a better time to sort of dig into it and find out what's going on. Probably talk more interactively about capital and those sorts of things, because I think our minds are kind of wrapped around that, and then we can spend a little more, give a little more justice to the rest of the budget or other items that the council may want us to do.
I would like to reserve the right to not commit to that immediately, but revisit that. I think because it won't be contract renewal year next year, that could be potentially possible, but bumping back that CUNY timeline actually bumps back all the department heads that are involved in this budget.
I understand.
And the CIP, so I would need to get everybody on board. So can we revisit that one in August or October?
Please do.
Thank you so much.
With that, is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.